League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Before we start, there is a giveaway this week.
A giveaway?
Yes, there is.
What are we giving away?
Well, you'll find out if you just wait till after the intro. But before that, why don't we start with a lovely wee review?
It feels weird not to say it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It feels weird you're not asking.
I'll do it again. What are we starting with?
A wee review by any chance?
Wow, how did you guys know? There was no way for you to know that. You read my mind.
Telepathic, mate.
So this one says, a truly great podcast. It's got five stars. It says, I love this podcast so much, and it's my favorite podcast out there. Me and my dog listen to every episode.
How much is the dog getting out of it?
Although I'm not sure if he understands the more complex topics.
No. That Time Traveling Twins episode was a bit much.
Just a bit over.
For Rover.
And I've even recommended it to multiple of my teachers who are all hooked. I'm glad the dog was recommending it to your teachers, because who else is going to do it? I enjoy every subject talked about and enjoy the way it keeps my interest. I look forward to every episode. Oh, thank you very much.
That's very sweet. Thank you so much.
I think this is the first review we've gotten from a dog.
Yes.
100%. Genuinely the first.
How did they type it?
I don't, with their little paws
on the screen.
Anyway, if you would like to leave a review, go to Apple Podcasts and do that. Be nice. Leave a 5-star one. We'll probably read it out. Shall we start the
probably.
Show?
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp and Luke Cutford.
Hello.
Hello there.
Today we're talking about simulated soil and Martian salads.
Ooh.
But before we get into that, we've got a little bit of announcement, don't we? You've probably seen it in the title, haven't you?
We do. You've teased it at the beginning.
Teased it at the beginning, see it in the title. What we're doing is a massive, big giveaway to thank every single one of you for getting us this far. It's 100 episodes we've made of Sci Guys, and we want to give back. We'll just give a little back to you guys. So we're doing a giveaway. What do they win?
Well, there are four prizes for four very special people. The first two, there are two runners-up prizes, a second prize, and a first prize.
What do the runners-up get?
So the runners-up are very, very lucky. They get a signed Sci Guys calendar. Very exclusive. There are only four left in existence, and none of them are yet signed. You can have a signed calendar. Fantastic. You can also get a personalized card from all of us.
Oh,
isn't that lovely?
Send a little message.
A little message.
Oh, that's nice.
Hello, how you doing? Goodbye. That's it.
See you next time.
Maybe some more stuff than that. But yeah, you get a signed calendar and a personalized card, which is fantastic. But if you're sitting there thinking, that's not quite enough for me, I want a little bit more. I want a little bit more from my Sci Guys. Well, don't you worry, because we do have a little bit more. If you win the second prize, you come second place, not quite the first winner, but you still win quite a lot. You get the miracle berries that we tried in our Science of Taste episode.
Oh, yes. Episode 94 we did with Guy.
Yeah.
We ate a whole lemon.
An entire lemon, and it tasted oh so sweet. Mwah. Fantastic. You get just get a few of those miracle berry tablets for you and your Sci Guys loving friends to try. Or you can just try it multiple times by yourself. We don't mind. You get those to try. You also get the signed calendar and the personalized cards, just the same as the runners-up. And if that isn't enough for you, if you're sitting there thinking, well, second prize just isn't, it's just not enough, guys.
I don't like lemons, even when they're really nice.
Yeah, you know, if you don't like lemons, well, have we got the prize for you? Because first prize is brilliant, if I do say so myself. First off, you get absolutely everything that the runners-up and second prize get. But on top of that, you also get some Martian soil. Look at this.
Look at this.
It's a little Martian soil kit. This is from the Martian Garden. They've got simulated Martian soil and a little planter for you to grow your own stuff in. Comes with everything you need. It's got the little casing to plant your soil in. It's got a little thing on top to make it similar to sort of the Martian sun.
That's so cool.
And also it's got seeds in there as well. It's got everything you need to grow your own little Martian plants. Isn't that wonderful?
Could we also maybe send like a little Sci Guys t-shirt or something? Could we arrange that?
A little Sci Guys t-shirt?
Yeah.
That's weird because we don't actually have any Sci Guys t-shirts.
No, it would be one of a kind. That's the thing.
I suppose it would be an exclusive one of a kind Sci Guys t-shirt that you get just for you. Isn't that fantastic? So just to recap, for first prize, not only do you get a signed calendar, personalized cards, taste-changing tablets, you also get Martian soil and an exclusive, one-of-a-kind Sci Guys t-shirt.
Wow.
Wow.
How do you enter?
How do you enter? I bet you're gagging. I bet you want to know how you enter, and I'll tell you how you enter. It's very, very easy.
Tell me.
All you need to do is answer one question. One simple question. You need to answer the question. What would be the first thing you do when you get to Mars? Don't just answer it to the front of your computer screen. Don't just do that. You've got to comment down below on this video. You also need to be liking this video and subscribed to Sci Guys. So that's how you enter this competition. But I can hear you saying at home, oh, that's not enough. Just one entry to the competition? That's not nearly enough. Well, don't you fret, because you can enter more than once on every video between now and our 2-year anniversary. You can comment, like, and subscribe for another entry. We'll be telling you the questions to answer in every single video. So this question is, what's the first thing you do when you get to Mars?
So there's a new question every week.
New question every time
you can enter.
Yep, exactly.
That's so cool.
So between now and episode 104, if you comment, like, and subscribe and answer the question, you've got an entry to win.
And then when do we find out who wins?
You find out who wins in episode 105, our 2-year anniversary.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? It's lovely. So if you want a chance to win all of this great stuff, all you need to do is pay attention to the next few Sci Guys episodes.
Yeah. And that's it. Pay attention.
Just pay attention. Cool. Just keep an eye out. A Sci Guy.
Sure. On with the episode. Okay, tell us about Mars. Tell us everything.
Jump into Mars.
Jump straight to it.
So this week's episode is about Mars. It's just a quick little intro to Mars because it's pretty cool. And it's also kind of, you know, it's a bit big. Can't really cover all in one episode. But what got me thinking about Mars was actually the Martian Garden. So the Martian Garden, you'll know them from the people that make this lovely Martian Garden planter. If you want to get in and grab one, you know, before we announce the winner of the competition, you can absolutely do that. And you can actually get 20% off by using the code MARS2020 at checkout. They haven't paid us to do this. They're just very nice and gave us a discount for you guys. They're just honestly really, really lovely. Really lovely people. So if you want to support them, go ahead and do that. The link is in the description. But let's get on and talk about Mars. What do you guys know about Mars?
It's
big, but not as big as our place.
Not as big as our place. And it's red, but even though it looks hot, it's really cold.
Yes, we know
the spot on. You guys are spot on. That's everything that we know about Mars.
Yeah,
it's not true. We know a little bit more about Mars.
$2.5 billion on that rover, and I found out it's
we can confirm
not hot.
It is red and cold.
they send Perseverance up, and it comes back like just one readout. Yes, it is red.
Well, thank goodness it has Perseverance, because it's pretty cold over there.
Okay,
I'd give up.
Let's talk about the length of the year on Mars. How long do you think years are on Mars?
2 Earth years-ish.
A bit longer than Earth, because it's further out. I'm going to guess 3.5 Earth years.
Luke was right, actually.
Jam, we literally did an episode about the Mars rover in which Corey said this last week.
I think I remember.
672 days, something like that?
687. But yeah.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, whereas on Earth, a year is about 365.25 days.
That's why we have leap years.
Yeah.
Every 4 years.
How long is a day on Mars, do you think?
Oh, you said this as well, but...
Shh.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Longer or shorter?
I reckon, 2 days?
I'm going to say 18 hours.
No, it's actually only 24 hours and 37 minutes, supposedly. So it's pretty
copycat.
Close.
Copycat. Come on, Mars. Get your own day.
To be fair, Mars and Earth aren't too dissimilar. I mean, okay, there are some pretty big differences here. For example, the sort of temperatures on Mars range from about minus 140 degrees centigrade to 30 degrees centigrade, whereas on Earth it only gets down to maybe about minus 88, sort of naturally, and up to about 58 degrees, with the average temperature, sort of average surface temperature of Earth being 14 degrees centigrade, and the average surface temperature of Mars, sorry, this is really funny to me, being minus 63
Did you just say the average temperature on Earth is 40 degrees centigrade?
14. 14.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, there's just one really, really hot. No, the average...
Everywhere but England is really hot. England drags it down.
Drags it right bloody down. Yeah, no. Mars is a bit cold. Mm. Just a touch. Maybe a bit too cold for liquid water.
I'll be honest, I thought it was a bit warmer.
Yeah, right? Mm. I mean, it looks... I think it's because it's red. It looks like... Yes. It looks real toasty. Yeah. It looks nice. It looks like you could sunbathe. Yeah. But you can't sunbathe. It's a little farther out from the sun than Earth, in that Earth is about 93 million miles from the sun. Mars is, on average, 142 million miles from the sun.
That would explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit far out. It's a bit far out. yeah. And obviously, Mars and Earth are quite different in size. Apparently, I think you could fit about, you could fit quite a lot of Mars's inside Earth. So, the diameter of, how much do you think the diameter of Earth is, roughly?
I learned this at some point. Some thousands of miles.
Yeah.
4,000 miles.
Less about the diameter of Mars. Mars is about 4,200 miles wide, and Earth is about 7,900 miles wide.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
nearly half the size.
Yeah. And actually, the moon is just a little bit smaller than Mars, in that Mars is kind of almost exactly between the moon and Earth in terms of size.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like bang in the middle. And also there's differences in the atmosphere as well. So gases in Earth's atmosphere are obviously
good for us.
Yes. To be honest, I just wanted to see what you guys would say. No, it's nitrogen, oxygen, and then some argon and some other stuff. So a little bit of carbon dioxide. But on Mars, it's mostly carbon dioxide, which is what we breathe out. It's also what plants use to make sort of sugars and photosynthesize, but primarily it's what we breathe out. And also there's some other gases in there as well, and some water vapor. But yeah, Mars is mostly got carbon dioxide in there.
So good for plants.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I mean, plants also need oxygen.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's
not... So do we. They can suffer as well.
Look, they can make their food. They just couldn't eat it, essentially. Like... It's like, okay, so putting a plant on Mars, other than if you ignore all the poison and whatnot and the lack of sunlight, it's kind of like giving someone a mountain of food, a massive pile of food, and stitching their mouth shut. But also carbon dioxide in really high concentrations is toxic as well, so you know, not necessarily the best. But Mars also has moons. So Earth has got a moon, right? You guys are aware of that? Heard of the Earth's moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it.
Yeah. So Earth has a moon. Mars has two moons. Do you know what they're called?
Greedy.
To be fair.
That's one of them. One's called Greedy.
Greedy.
What's the other one called?
Sloth.
Dopey.
You guys are like not... they're called Fear and Panic, but in Greek.
Stop it.
No, so it's Phobos and Deimos, which is Greek for fear and panic. So the reason they're called that is because of the names of the horses that pull... they're the names of the horses that pull the Greek god of war's chariot, and Mars is named after the Roman god of war. So it's like, you know,
makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, for this to make sense, you need to understand that the Roman gods are basically just the Greek gods with a new splash of paint,
rebranded.
Actually, though, yeah. Like 100% the same thing with just different names. So that's why the moons are called that. But how big do you think the moons are, roughly? Just like give me a ballpark estimate.
2,000 kilometers.
That is a vast overestimate, honestly.
Really?
No, seriously.
400 miles.
These things are tiny, way smaller than that. 22.2 kilometers across and 12.6 kilometers across.
So why is that not just an asteroid that's orbiting Mars?
That's essentially what they are.
Right. Why is it called a moon then?
Because it's a moon. It's a captured asteroid.
I think London's wider than that.
Yeah, probably is.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're small.
We should move.
To Mars?
Yeah.
House prices are much lower.
To Phobos.
I mean, you wouldn't have very much land or air.
I'd have more land than I have here, Corey. I have zero land.
That's very true. You would have more land than you have here.
Imagine if you get to be the landlord that rents out Phobos.
To whom? Mm.
Like, it's a, I think it's a 700 bedroom.
No oxygen.
No oxygen included. Oxygen bill will.
That'd be like the equivalent of when it says unfurnished. It's like unoxygenated.
Yeah, the issue is though. I mean, look, what you get in space, you know, you kind of lose in transport links because the nearest tube station is, you know, millions of miles away.
One day when the Elizabeth line is done, we'll be able to go to Mars.
I mean, they might coincide.
Yeah.
Probably, actually. Yeah. So that's a little bit of the of Mars and its moon. I want to tell you guys a little bit about missions to Mars, because we've tried to go to Mars. When do you think we first started trying to go to Mars?
I love that, tried.
90s?
90s?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I thought that the kind of the program was started in the 90s, early 2000s, the idea of like we might get, like we're going to start trying to fund it in the US.
Okay, well,
I thought you meant we made an attempt.
I might be wrong.
So, no. So there was.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant people.
No,
you
not
mean,
people.
You mean probes?
Probes. Okay. Not like when I say we go to Mars, I mean we just send our stuff to Mars.
Oh, probably a while ago then.
Yeah, a little while ago.
70s. Earlier.
Earlier than that.
50s.
Later than that.
60s.
It was the 60s. Yeah. That's right. Woo! Yeah, there we go. Woo!
Ding, ding, ding.
A couple just for me. Wow.
Anyway, so yeah, we started trying to do that in the 1960s. Now, bear in mind, the first satellite that was sent to space was the Soviet Union's Sputnik, and that was in 1957. Hmm. So it was only a few years later that we started trying to. Well, I say we. When I say we, I mean the human race. So it was only about 3 years later that we started trying to leave our terrible, awful planet and go to a worse one.
Were there attempts to go to space before Sputnik that failed?
Yeah, there were attempts to go to. I think there were attempts to go to space that failed before Sputnik, but it was the. But bear in mind the difference between getting something into orbit and getting something out of orbit and on the way to Mars is there's different considerations. It's quite a big leap, you know, because getting something into orbit is essentially just shooting it up and making it fall right. You know, fall so it misses the Earth. Whereas when you leave the planet, you've got to take into account guidance and how the planets are moving in respect retrograde. To one another.
Hmm? Retrograde.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Retrograde.
That's what you're going to say.
No. Okay. Suddenly an astrology.
So which country was it that was trying to get to Mars in the 60s?
It was the Soviet Union. So the USSR was trying to get there. Obviously, America was trying to do it as well, because anything that the USSR does, America wants to do too.
They want a piece of it.
That's how the song goes, isn't it? Anything the USSR can do, the US can do better. The US can do anything the USSR can do. No, he can't. Yes, he can.
No, you can't. Yes, I can.
And that's all of history.
That's the Cold War in one song. Look, the one thing that the USSR did that the US doesn't want to do is communism. And that is a fact you could take to the bank.
The USSR didn't.
But not in the USSR, because they don't have banks
there. The USSR is still going. They just relocated to Mars. So they succeeded.
I was thinking about this. No, I was honestly thinking about this. I feel like there's bound to be a film about the Soviets going to Mars, like a proper Red Scare film, a Red Scare on the Red Planet, you know? Like, I want to see that. And if it doesn't exist, I want to make it. So, back to actual reality. So the Soviet Union made quite a few attempts to get to Mars in the 1960s. And then NASA also went ahead and tried to pop to Mars with, you know, orbiters and satellites and whatnot. And they all failed to begin with. They were not going well. There were 7 missions launched between the US and the USSR. And like I said, they all failed. Some for different reasons. Some of them didn't leave Earth. One of them just lost communication. Others got into space and then crashed back down to the planet after they failed while in space. And then NASA's Mariner 4 finally made it to Mars. So that was November 28th, 1964. And it flew by Mars in 1965 in July. And it took 21 photos and sent them back to Earth.
They did not stop by. They did not stop down on the surface.
No, because, okay. So when we talk about sort of space travel, there are each sort of step introduces more problems that you need to sort of that you need to get past. And bear in mind, problems probably mean, you know, more physical stuff that you need on board to deal with those problems, which means more stuff you need to put into space in the first place. So in terms of a flyby, all you need to do is just make something that can fly into space and send you stuff back. That's all you got to do.
And what do? Just turn it off and it just keeps going.
What do you mean turn it off?
Well, you just like, do you leave it out there or does it come back?
I assume they just leave it out there.
Yeah, where is this guy now? He took pictures. Where did he go?
It's not a guy. It's a...
So I know it's not a guy.
Don't say.
Sorry for gendering this satellite.
I thought you were thinking that they sent a photographer up there. Oh, this one will be a great one. Send that back.
He gave his life for America.
Put a lot on it first.
So Mariner 4 launched, as I said, in 1964, and then it went past Mars, took some pictures, sent them back. And 2 days after that, the Soviet Union, 2 days after the Mariner 4 launched, the Soviet Union tried to send up one of theirs to go and take a look at Mars. And it did do that. It went past Mars, but it could not send the images back because the radio failed. So, yeah.
How did they know it went past Mars then?
Because they know that it went past
its trajectory. Right. Okay.
Yeah. It didn't return any. It didn't return any of the data that they needed.
Didn't send a postcard. Very sad.
Yeah, it's a shame. No, so this is the issue, right? Essentially, when you're trying to get to places, there's the first hurdle, which is getting into orbit, and then getting out of orbit, and then steering, like sort of the right directions to get to planets. Because bear in mind, the planets are moving. So when you leave Earth, the Earth is moving, and you're trying to get to Mars, which is also moving.
You got to predict where it's going to be in relation to where you currently are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult stuff. Yeah. And once you're there, you've got to then, you can either just fly by, which is easier, or you can try and get into Martian orbit, which is harder. And if you're in Martian orbit, you could also then try to land on the surface, which is even harder. And then, you know, not just landing on the surface, if you want to move around or explore the surface, that's another thing. Mm. And all of these things mean you need to have more tech on board, which means you need to have sort of, you need to put more into space in the first place. So
Yeah,
we started off just kind of doing flybys, and even then that was difficult because it just didn't work. Which, if you think about it, is pretty awful because the amount of money that would go into sending something to space only for it to get there and not be able to send you back the information that you need. Absolute pain. So NASA then also sent Mariner 6 and 7 in 1969. They got to Mars, they sent back some pictures, and the thing is that at this point, the only pictures of Mars were pictures that had craters in them. So we thought that Mars looked like the moon, just covered in craters.
Yeah.
Which isn't really true. I mean, you've seen pictures of Mars. It's not absolutely covered in craters. And then there were sort of more unsuccessful missions and some successful ones that went into the sort of 70s. And then we kind of had a better idea of what Mars looked like from Mariner 9 in 1971. So that was launched in May of 1971 and then arrived at Mars while there was a dust storm like covering pretty much the entire planet. And also, we saw some stuff coming out of the dust, which turned out to be the tops of sort of dead or sort of dormant volcanoes. And then there was also some like other stuff that we found, like a massive sort of valley called the Valles Marineris. It wasn't called that until we named it that. It's not like they found a little signpost, but
did they name it after their own probe?
Yeah, it was the probe that discovered it,
right?
And it sent back. So that probe then spent a year orbiting the planet and sent back over 7,000 pictures. And then throughout the 70s and 80s, we continued to try and learn more about Mars. We tried to get to its moons and also find out if there was any evidence of life on the planet. And during that time, we found that there were some meteorites on Earth that were very similar to Mars. So that there might have been meteorites on Earth that have come from Mars. By the time we got to the 90s, NASA had launched their FBC program, Faster, Better, Cheaper. Because essentially, missions to Mars failed a
stronger.
Lot. Hmm?
Yeah. That don't kill me. Sorry.
Because missions to Mars failed a lot, they wanted to make it cost less and also try and make it less likely to fail. And you got to remember, at this point, computers were getting smaller and cheaper and faster. And this was one of the driving forces behind this change. They wanted to use the sort of new computer technology to help make Mars missions cheaper and safer for, you know, their instruments and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then there were some other failed missions to Mars in the 90s from Russia, Japan, and the US. And then from the noughties onwards, we've really just gone for it. Like, we've fallen in love with Mars again. I think part of that reason is because we start finding evidence of water having existed on Mars. And then we start sending rovers and orbiters. And, you know, nowadays, Mars is just like, it's a big thing. I mean, it's stayed roughly the same size since we, you know, found out about it. But we've been very excited about the prospect of going to Mars. Even though...
Moving there.
Yeah, moving there.
Even living there, potentially. Like,
inhospitable. Entirely. Mm. You know. But yeah, so that's not all. That's sort of the history of Mars missions. There is... there are some current Mars missions going on right now. Do you guys know about any of those?
There's been one in the news recently.
Yeah, there has been one in the news recently.
Mr. or Miss Perseverance? Whatever the gender is?
It's a rover.
It's a robot.
Doesn't need a gender. Perseverance has been sent to Mars from NASA, along with Ingenuity, the little helicopter. So they're going to do the first fixed-wing flight on another planet that we know of course. You know, might be aliens out there doing fixed-wing flights. We don't know. But this is kind of like a Wright Brothers moment for Mars, which is really cool. So there's lots of stuff going on with that. We're also trying to figure out about signs of ancient life on Mars, because we've kind of got to the point where we're like, yeah, there was water on Mars. That's pretty well accepted, but... was there life? That's the next question.
Dun, dun, dun.
Amazing. So that's what that one is doing. We've also got some other missions that are kicking about Mars. China has sent an orbiter up to Mars. So that arrived on the 10th of February 2021. So this year. So China has had some images come back and they have released them. So the name of the orbiter is... I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it. It is in one of the Chinese languages, but it is questioning the heavens in English. So let's just say that. So the Chinese orbiter is it basically translates to questioning the heavens. It launched last year in July, and yeah. So the idea is for it to orbit around Mars and then send down a rover at some point in May or June, and then. The orbiter is essentially going to map out the landing site between now and then, which is pretty cool. So it's going to be lots of rovers kicking about Mars. Maybe they can meet and be friends. But that's not all.
Can have a little dog park and they go to the dog park and hang out.
Take their fixed-winged drones for a walk. Or a fly, sorry.
They take pictures together. Selfie.
try and find Curiosity. See what Curiosity's doing, you know. Since
is Curiosity dead?
Yeah, Curiosity died a little while ago.
Oh, that's just so sad.
I know, it's a shame. Although, look, this is the thing. As soon as we go to Mars, one of the first things we're going to do is go find Curiosity and either fix it up Wall-E style or make a little Martian museum.
We'll definitely put it in a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to find marinas 4 to 20 or whatever they are as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be in deep space.
So. That's fine. One day we'll find them.
We'll go get them.
We're colonizing every single
part. No man left behind.
No, but I do think it's really lovely the way that we treat the rovers, you know? Like, Curiosity had a Twitter account, and Perseverance has got a Twitter account, and everyone loves Curiosity, even though it's just essentially a robot. Well, not even necessarily a robot, like... It's a rover, you know? But we all love it. There's also the UAE. United Arab Emirates, they've sent something up to Mars. It's going to be in orbit. It arrived in orbit around about the 9th of February this year, 2021. So the idea is to get a good idea of the climate of Mars and basically give scientists a look into what the atmosphere was like when it could have supported life.
Wow.
Why? Just out of interest, why?
Why not? I mean, I mean, you could ask why for all of this stuff. Why are we going to Mars? Why are we trying to find out if there was life on Mars? Because it's interesting, and it also gives us an insight to life on Earth. There's lots of reasons for it, but ultimately, when it comes to science and going to space, why not? You know,
because we can.
I agree, but why look at I mean, I understand that science doesn't necessarily have a known application immediately, but why look at the climate when it could have maybe supported a thing that we don't know whether it did support yet? Do you know what I mean?
It could help give us insight into whether it did support life or not.
Oh, okay.
Could give us a look into what happens when your planet supports life and then doesn't. There's lots of reasons. There's plenty of applications for it. I say plenty of applications. Plenty of reasons to look into it because it could give us better insight on other things. But fair ultimately, enough. This is the thing. When it comes to going to space, it doesn't really matter. It could save the planet one day, but it's not super important to right now. And I feel like if we start asking the questions of like, oh, well, why are we doing this? Just because. I don't think we need to have a strong reason to do it. Going to Mars is cool.
Yeah.
Let's do that, I think.
Start there. Expand.
Exactly. Just spread across the entire solar system like an awful, awful disease.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they'll have to self-isolate.
So have the Americans got a... I believe, I've got off memory, but I believe they have a plan to send people to Mars now.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep on hearing about that. So we've got... we'll probably cover this more in another episode. But yeah, though there is talk of sending people to Mars. There's lots of issues about it though. I mean, because for one thing, Mars doesn't really have life on it yet.
And we can't breathe the air.
Well, I should say, sorry. There is no evidence that Mars has life on it right now. And even if it did, it can't support our life in its current state. So there'd be a lot of legwork we need to do to get that sorted. You know, we'd need to first build infrastructure on Mars such that we could live in it. Mm-hmm. We'd need to change a lot of things. We need to figure out how to grow food on Mars, for one thing, which is something we're going
to
be talking about.
I already know how to do that. You just go to the Martian garden and you buy a little Martian plant kit and then you grow your food. Corey, come on. We know
sticks
this.
Sticks and potatoes in the soil. You're fine.
Fertilize it with your NASA own feces. Even, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Have NASA even been to the Martian garden website? I bet they haven't.
They probably actually have.
They could have just sent a probe to the Martian Garden website.
This is going to be very funny when you find out what the Martian soil simulator is used for, so stick a pin in that. Now, look, first, let's just have a quick chat about why we can't live on Mars. What are some of the reasons that we can't live on Mars?
Can't breathe the air.
You're right, it's too cold, we can't breathe the air. I mean, another thing is the size of Mars. So Mars is a lot smaller, which means it's got a much weaker gravitational pull, which means you're roughly about, I think, 30% of maybe just a bit more than that, maybe 35% your weight on Mars.
That's so cool.
Compared to Earth. So if you weigh if you weigh like 100 kilograms on Earth, you'd only weigh about 35-ish kilograms on Mars.
Like a child.
Wow.
Yeah, right? How cool is that?
Ultimate weight loss program. Go to Mars. Only takes you 7 months.
I mean, it would be better to go to the moon. You'd weigh less and it's closer. Mm.
So does that mess up things in your body if you're too light?
Well, this is the thing, right? So on the space station, in microgravity, you know they need to exercise like all the time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise their muscles will just kind of atrophy. And yeah, on Mars, because you weigh less, there's less sort of strain on your body. And also that could be a good thing in that there's less stress on it. But also you need to keep exercising because otherwise you won't be using your muscles as much as you should be.
But do they need to, like, does that matter? Like, because the plan is not to come back. So, like, if you're on the space station, like, I'm sure there are actual health reasons why you need your muscles to not atrophy. But also, you're coming back, and so you don't want to be, like, really, really weak when you get back as well. But I'm sure there's actually health reasons why you don't want your muscles to become weak either. But if you're staying on Mars, would it not almost be good for your body to adapt to the new gravity and only have the amount of muscle required to do things on Mars? Like, there's no point being like hench when everything is a third of the weight that it was in your last Earth, the last home.
Yeah, look, there's probably plenty of reasons that you need to, like, the thing is, you could say adapt to Mars, but it's not, your body needs to have a certain amount of muscle mass to sort of function correctly anyway. And there are any number of reasons that you wouldn't want to do that. For example, if you wanted to leave Mars at some point again, even just to go
tough.
Into
do a workout there. Get on the treadmill if you want to leave. Come on, run.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think there are plenty of reasons you don't want to lose a significant amount of muscle mass, even if you don't necessarily need to use it on Mars. It is just one consideration that being a lot lighter does... there are some, not necessarily health risks, but considerations that one must take.
How high could you jump?
A lot higher on Mars.
3 times higher. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, okay. That's no, I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know. I don't know how much higher you could jump on
if
Mars.
It's like whether it scales linearly or cubically.
Let's just say you could jump at least twice as high.
Apparently, it is actually linear scaling. According to Arizona University, if you can jump 1 meter on Earth, you can jump 2.64 meters on Mars because it's 38% the gravity.
There you go.
So it's linear.
Pretty dead on.
Yeah.
I was expecting like 10 meters.
Oh.
If you can jump 1 meter, then it's like 3 meters, three squared, so 9 meters.
Well, if you think yeah. about it, because your weight has come down by like, your weight has come down by maybe like what, 60-something percent? That's how much... That's the difference. It's not, you don't need to worry about the sort of gravity. You just need to worry about the weight.
Yes.
That makes
but
sense.
If you don't work out, you won't be able to jump as high. So
true.
Get on the treadmill. Want to jump high?
Do the squats.
Get on the treadmill.
So yeah, that's just one reason. Also, the atmosphere is very thin, which is an issue for landing. So it's thin enough that it's difficult to slow things down when they're landing from orbit, but also thick enough that it's still an issue. You know, so there's that. Also, the atmosphere kills you. Can't breathe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's carbon dioxide. Mm. Not a good thing to breathe. If you want to figure that one out, put your head inside of a plastic bag and try that out for a few minutes. Don't do that. That was a joke. Do not do that. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But if you were to do it, you'd realize that breathing in carbon dioxide, not very fun.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But if you did.
But if you do, no, but don't. No, seriously, don't do that.
Is the atmosphere sufficiently thin that you'd then get more like rates of cancer from specific UV? Obviously, you're further away, so there's going to be lower UV radiation. I ask very specific questions, I'm sorry. So you're further away, so there's less UV radiation, but also there's less atmosphere, so there's more UV radiation. So higher skin cancer rates?
You know what? It balances it out.
You know what, Luke? The thing is, they've not done any... This is the issue. They've not done any... long-term studies on skin cancer rates on Mars, given that there is no skin on Mars. I'm joking.
There's no skin on Mars. You could send some with the rover.
A little
box of skin.
Perseverance is just covered in skin.
Oh my God, make a Terminator. Cover it in skin. Yes!
Oh, how revolting would that be if it lands and it's just got skin?
Imagine going
squelches.
Imagine it takes a long time for us to get to Mars, and like some of our history is kind of, you know, some of it is kind of lost history, and these people then go and find some skin covered rover that's still kicking about.
Like, there's evidence of life on Mars, but it's also robotic for some reason.
No, so that is another point there. Yeah, because Mars has got not quite as strong a magnetic field as Earth. Earth's magnetic field kind of deflects some radiation, keeps us nice and not dead.
I love being not dead.
And also, it's not very good at sort of deflecting radiation in terms of the atmosphere as well. Mm. So yeah, there is sort of higher levels of radiation on Mars, which could present an issue for people that want to live there. On top of that, the thinner atmosphere also has fewer greenhouse gases. Now, we always think of greenhouse gases as being bad, but bear in mind, we need them or we'd be pretty bloody cold, because they help trap heat into the planet, which is a good thing until you do it too much and then you're all dying. But the only sort of greenhouse gas that there is in abundance on Mars is carbon dioxide, which has its own problems again. Ugh. There's no ozone layer, the ozone layer, which, you know, is good for us and is nice. Yeah, so Mars has a host of issues that we'd need to overcome. One of the other issues is the soil. The soil in Mars is full of something called perchlorate salts, and a bunch of other stuff, which bad for you. Very not good.
What does it do?
Kill you.
It actually kills you?
It'd kill you, yeah. Make you feel very ill and then very dead.
I'm more concerned about the dying.
Well, I mean, okay, here's the thing. It would also kill the plants that you try and grow in it. So that's an issue. We'll get to that as well. We'll get to the sort of plants and the soil and stuff. But yeah, there are many reasons that living on Mars is dangerous. If there's any that we've missed out, feel free to leave them in the comments below.
Well, I mean, and on top of that, we haven't even got there yet.
Yeah.
It's like you haven't even got there and it's already crap. Like,
it's hard to live on it if you're not there.
No, I'm not even joking. You went ahead and you went ahead and hit the nail on the head with that one. Getting there. That's another issue that I almost forgot to mention. Good one. Good catch. getting to Mars, right pain, takes quite a while, doesn't it?
Several months.
Yeah, takes a good long time. In space, which, you know, it's hard to live in space for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Also, you've got to land. Landing on Mars is hard. We fail at it quite often.
Especially if you get all the way there and you just crash and die. That's
not unlikely.
It. Not unlikely. Okay, cool.
I mean, it's not terribly likely, but there's not a 0%
chance
of it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, look, if we were sending people to Mars, we'd have a pretty good, we'd be pretty sure that we're going to let them land there safely. But there's that, there's the getting there. Also, once you're there, after months of traveling, you can't just up and leave. You got to stay there if you think about this, right? Mm-hmm. Both of the planets are moving, right? They're moving around the sun. It's not like Earth and Mars are equidistant. Sometimes they're on the other side of the sun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you need to wait for the right window to send someone there. And then it could be over a year until there's a good window again to get them to come back.
It's like a train that, like, the best time, well, the trains come, obviously, but there's only like certain times where you can get on and go.
Well, yeah. The difference being between this and a train is that if you miss your train, you might have to wait an hour. You miss your Mars ship. You might have to wait a year.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not good. If you want a good sort of look into this, The Martian is actually pretty sound. The book more so than the film. The Martian is actually pretty sound in terms of like what it would be like to be stranded on Mars. Very good book. I reckon you should read it. But yeah, that's kind of why living on Mars would be bloody difficult. And yeah, so those are just some reasons that it would be difficult to live on Mars. But I can hear you saying, but what about terraforming?
What about terraforming?
Oh, wow, I can hear you say that.
What about terraforming?
What about terraforming?
Oh, boy, I really can't hear you saying that.
What about terraforming?
Okay, stop it.
What about terraforming?
Oh, yes, Jem.
Good question, Jem.
Thank you.
We don't have the technology to terraform it yet.
No, we don't. But they have it in Alien, the film.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They also have aliens in Alien.
Good point.
So getting a lot of oil and just burning it doesn't work because I mean that's the issue with
our planet. In fact,
yeah, I know, but we want Mars to warm up. So I don't mean that. I'm not saying that as a joke. I've heard at least once the idea that basically you want to just fill the atmosphere with exactly the kind of things we're trying to minimize.
To an extent,
not. You also want some oxygen there, obviously. That would be nice.
Just a touch. Well, the thing is, you don't want too high of a concentration of carbon dioxide because, okay, here's the thing. Here's a fun, interesting fact that I found out recently. Now, do you know the feeling of sort of suffocating, the feeling of not being able to breathe when you breathe in?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't come from not breathing in oxygen. That comes from breathing in carbon dioxide.
I, too, have been watching Hank Green's TikTok.
Actually, I saw it on his Instagram. So,
I'm sorry.
No, but so breathing in helium or whatever, you won't feel like you're suffocating. Breathing in carbon monoxide, you won't feel like you're suffocating necessarily. But carbon dioxide, oh boy, that one's gonna get you.
So if you go to Mars, you're gonna basically feel like you're suffocating the whole time.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the point
you will be suffocating the whole time.
You don't have a sense of low oxygen. You have a sense of carbon dioxide concentration.
Yeah, you've got a sense of carbon dioxide concentration being too high. Yeah.
Interesting.
Weird, isn't it? Weird that we wouldn't have evolved the ability to know the concentration of oxygen in our blood, seeing as that's the thing we need.
Ah, but that's not so much the issue. That's not so much the issue. The thing is, it's interesting because it really, to me, it points to that whole thing of evolution just solves the problem that it needs to at the time in the easiest way, not necessarily the easiest way, in whatever way works, you know?
Right.
So, like, the human
eye. Right, that is not the issue because it's the amount of, it's you needing to breathe out carbon dioxide that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, no.
You need to expel it.
What I mean is that, the issue is if you don't breathe enough oxygen, you suffocate. But if you breathe oxygen, then you breathe out carbon dioxide. And generally, if there's low oxygen, there's going to be too much carbon dioxide because you're breathing all of the oxygen, right? So if you've got a sense for there being too much carbon dioxide, then most cases, that's going to be a pretty good sense for how much oxygen there is, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, why would you need to evolve something different? It's like the human eye. It can't see all of the colors. Like it can't discern between, you know, as many colors as other animals necessarily can. It's not even the best configuration for seeing stuff. We've made better things for seeing stuff than the human eye. But it works. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. It'll do.
It doesn't let you see the ghosts though, so. Try next time, evolution.
And yeah, so back to Mars, figuratively speaking.
Go, please. Off we go.
I have to go there once.
Just at least
to go
once.
Back.
Yeah. Well, oh my God, imagine a Sci Guys episode from Mars.
Yeah, it takes so long to upload.
Well, no, I mean, be 12
minutes. We just come back and use the home Wi-Fi.
Yeah, pop back.
Yeah.
What if we went to Mars, recorded an episode, and then died on the mission back?
That'd be fine. Oh. That's okay with me. I wouldn't mind dying on the way back from Mars so long as I got to Mars and left. Mm. Dying on Mars, loser. Couldn't even live on Mars. Dying on the way back from Mars, dying
That's
in
cool
space.
As hell.
Yeah, like dying in space is incredibly easy to do, so I wouldn't feel bad about that.
Yeah.
Whereas dying on Mars, loser.
I mean, it's also incredibly easy to do, Corey. There's no oxygen.
Yeah, but like, it's such a loser move, like dying on Mars. You know,
I feel like well. You just sometimes say things and then you just stick to them and that's the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, you 100% got it. I'm surprised it's taken
dying
you
on
100
Mars?
Episodes to catch on to
that's
that.
The attitude of a loser. What does that even mean?
Dying on Mars makes you a loser. Dying in space is fine.
Well, I hope I can clip that. And when the US mission to Mars fails and some people die there, I'm going to just tweet that.
Corey, episode 100 of Sci Guys. Dying on Mars makes you a loser.
Makes you a loser. It just makes you a loser automatically. No discussion. I look forward to your being cancelled in the mid-2030s.
Oh, wow. Something I said. Imagine, I cannot wait to have to explain this 10 years from now.
Like, wow, dragging up old quotes, huh?
The more I say right now, actually, the deeper the hole I'm digging myself.
Because you knew at the time. It's not like you can deny you knew.
Oh, cancel culture nowadays. You can't even make jokes about Mars.
Dying on Mars.
Heads up, by the way, for anyone listening to this in 10, 20 years or whatever, we haven't gotten to Mars yet. This is purely hypothetical. And this does not reflect my modern views on Mars. So yeah, Luke, you were saying burning stuff, burning oil to make the atmosphere on Mars warmer. Now, I actually found a study from I think about 2018 that effectively had a similar idea. Basically, their idea was to try and get more CO2 in the Martian atmosphere in order to make it warmer. But unfortunately, there's just not enough CO2 on Mars to do that. That was the issue.
Right.
So even not just in like gaseous form, CO2 in other forms, there's not enough to convert it into gas to get it to protect, to warm up the Martian atmosphere. Now, there are other ways that you could do that, sure, but we don't have the technology for that just yet. So that is a main issue. But let's say that we get to Mars, okay? We've got a perfectly sealed environment. You know, we're all good on that. We've got our oxygen there. We're all good. We still want to grow some food, don't we?
Well, we'll probably need it.
Yeah, I mean, at some point. You don't want to be...
Take some fuel.
Right. Here's the thing. When you go on holiday, right? Imagine how much more difficult it would be if you had to pack all of the food that you needed. Like, you know, for a while.
That's what it was like going vegan in the early days.
Now imagine... Great. Imagine if like not only did you have to pack all of that food, you also had to get it into space, then get it to Mars.
Oh,
not very good. Like the thing is that realistically, when it comes to getting stuff to space, weight costs money, like a lot of money. You want to limit as much as you can. You know, you don't want to be putting stuff on there that's unnecessary. You know, so your 10 kilo, 20 kilo, 30 kilo weights, probably leave that at home, mate. Just do some body weight exercises, you know? no, the thing is that we don't want to take food because, one, we need to make food that lasts a long time. Mm-hmm. That's difficult. And two, storage. You then have to have more space, which means you need to have more spacecraft, which is just more weight on mm-hmm. top of the weight of the food that you're trying to take with you. So ideally, you want to be able to have a way to make food while you're there. And so this is the thing that you technically can grow food in Martian-ish soil. Now, bear in mind, we haven't actually brought any Martian soil back to Earth. None of the missions have thus far done that. I think Perseverance is planning on doing that, though. I think Perseverance is planning on bringing some of Mars back to Earth.
Wow.
I think it's storing samples in little tubes for a future mission to pick up.
That's it. That's bang on, right? Yeah.
That's clever.
You're correct. Essentially, what they're doing is they're collecting soil so that at some point in the future, they can bring it back.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been calling this soil, but it's not strictly soil because soil means something in particular. Do you guys know what soil means?
To mean it's made of earth.
Well, so soil is sort of the mixture of rocks and minerals and all of that stuff. And look, the difference is that soil needs to have sort of an ecosystem of bacteria. Bacteria, fungi, insects, and all of that stuff. Soil also has sort of decayed organic material. Soil is essentially the stuff that you grow plants in.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That makes sense.
It's a more slightly more living thing than just rocks. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Whereas regolith, on the other hand, it refers to sort of anything that is eroded sort of rocks, that is loose and found on the surface of a planet. So we actually call this stuff in this box... regolith simulant. It's simulant of regolith, which is pretty cool. So the thing is that if you go to the Martian garden, you'll have a see, and you'll see that they're selling different kinds of Martian soil simulant. But we've not brought any soil back from Mars. We've not brought any of Mars back from Mars. So
how do we have Martian soil?
Yeah, how do we have it? How do we have this Martian soil?
Did we mass spectrometer some soil samples on Mars using Curiosity and then make it again on Earth out of the same things?
So that's kind of similar to what happened. Basically, there was a mission to Mars. They found out the sort of the composition of the sort of surface rocks on Mars, of the regolith. And they found out that it was, it's quite similar to Earth, essentially. Because Mars and Earth are fairly similar. They're both sort of rocky planets that aren't gas giants. Mm. And they've got very similar crusts. So the crust of the Earth has got a lot of silicate minerals, basically things that are made of silicon mm-hmm. and oxygen and other stuff. And then after that, there's iron oxide and aluminium oxide. And on Earth, there's more aluminium oxide than iron oxide. And on Mars, there's more iron oxide than aluminium oxide. Now, iron oxide is rust, essentially.
Right.
Rust. It's, okay. That's what makes... That's when iron rusts, iron oxide is what makes it look red. And that's why Mars is red, because it's got a lot of iron oxide.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So
wait, does rust suggest the presence of water, liquid water?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
No. Iron can rust more, or like sort of rust faster in the presence of water, but no.
Water is a catalyst, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
That delivers oxygen.
Yeah. So yeah, on Mars, there's more iron oxide than aluminium oxide. There are other differences as well, obviously, like I mentioned, the salts that kill you. But that is one of the major differences. So on Earth, you can actually find some kind of rocks that have more iron oxide than aluminium oxide. And that we did that. We basically, we went to places where there were more rocks that had more iron oxide than aluminium oxide. And we sampled those and we kind of crushed them down to make a sort of simulant of Martian soil. And there were lots of different reasons that we want to do this. Do you guys think of maybe any reasons that we might want to have some kind of simulation of Martian soil, even if it's not exactly perfect down to the exact composition?
So we can test if we can grow things like food.
Well, that's one thing. That's kind of
the rover wheels.
That's the bigger deal. So the food thing is kind of, from what I've seen, is a more recent sort of.
It's like a long term thing. It's like, yeah, later on we'll need to.
Yeah, it's a more recent sort of area of study.
See,
but the testing things now. when you're sort of planning a mission to Mars, the conditions on Mars are very important, because mm-hmm. how a rover operates on Mars is very different to how a rover will operate on Earth. If you're mm-hmm. thinking about sampling, if the soil is different, if the regolith on Mars is different to the regolith on Earth, then when you're sampling it could be very different. Like, for example, mm-hmm. Absorbing water. If something absorbs water a lot, then it's going to be like your sampling technique is going to be different. Mm-hmm. So to make sure that the rovers were equipped to properly sample things on Mars and operate correctly, we need to have a good idea of what the surface of Mars is like. And that's the main reason that we kind of developed that. So there are two different kinds of simulant that Martian Garden have. There's the MMS-1 and MMS-2. So the Mojave Mars Simulant 1, mm-hmm. that is pretty much the same as the one that was developed for the Mars Phoenix mission. They use the same source as was used for the simulant to prepare for that mission. And there is also the other one. So this one, the first one, is sort of similar in composition to an extent. It's got more iron oxide. It's like got similar sort of, mm-hmm. They've got similar sort of grain or whatever, you know, size of the particles. Mm-hmm. And then they've also got MMS-2, which is a slightly better version. It's the upgraded version. That's basically got more chemicals that are similar to the composition of Mars. So they add in iron 3 oxide, silicate mineral, sulfates, magnesium oxide. That makes it more chemically similar to Mars. It doesn't have the salts that I spoke to you about, mm-hmm. those salts, because it's dangerous.
It won't kill you.
Well, yeah, this exactly. Yeah. So if you're getting this from the Martian Garden, it won't kill you. But if you want to add those in, you can just add them in yourself.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. You shouldn't do it though. As I've said, those salts aren't present on Mars, but other than that, it's pretty similar. It's very similar. It's very good. So if you want to try growing stuff in Martian soil, you can do that. But obviously it would be better to maybe try and use some fertilizer on it. If you use fertilizer on it, I think there's actually a video, a guest video on Tom Scott's channel like a year ago that I found, where someone actually used all of this stuff to grow different kind of plants in it.
Wow.
There has been sort of a lot of people. There's been different people sort of trying to grow different plants in Martian soil simulants. In fact, there was a group of, I think they were students. It's not entirely clear. It's the Mars Garden Project. Essentially, they have used the Martian Garden soil simulant, the same one that we've got with us right now. That's it. They're undergraduate students. And they've essentially been trying to use different plants in this simulant to see if they will grow in this soil, which is pretty cool, I think. Mm. And you know, there's been some successes, and you know, they've used things like carrots, spinach, dandelions, kale, soybeans, peas, onions, garlic, and potatoes and sweet potatoes that are tested using different fertilizers, different light conditions, because bear in mind the light conditions on Mars are different to on Earth because it's farther away. And also, you know, they did control studies by growing the same plants in Earth soils, and it's pretty cool. The results from this are going to be really helpful in understanding what can and what can't grow in Martian soils. Bear in mind, like, because they're not just the soil that's the issue with Mars, also the light is different, so you can't grow things that need a lot of light. Mm-hmm. But apparently things like dandelions are really good, because you can eat the entire part of the, you can eat the entire plant, they grow fairly well, it could be good for growing on Mars. So in terms of like going to Mars, we've made some progress. We know that we could conceivably, bear in mind it'd have to be in greenhouses, we could mm-hmm. conceivably grow some plants using treated soil from the surface of Mars, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, just so you're picturing this correctly, bear in mind that if we're on Mars and doing this, this would have to be in a greenhouse.
Everything's indoors, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like right now, the idea, everything would have to be indoors because we just
can't breathe.
We can't breathe. We just can't breathe. And also greenhouses, because like there is less light. So greenhouses make things warmer, more humid, and it's better for life for the plants. And that would have to be standard on Mars. So that's a brief overview of that. But I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the ethics of terraforming Mars, because I found this really interesting sort of essay, this interesting paper on the ethical considerations of going to Mars. I just wonder what you guys think. Do you have any thoughts about anything to do with colonizing another planet? Why we might have ethical problems when it comes to that?
Because we already suck at living on our own.
Mm. Going to ruin two planets.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, can you really ruin a planet that already doesn't seem to harbor any life at the moment?
That's true.
Not sure you can.
I think one of the things they brought up were sort of legal concerns. So, right, you make a colony. This is the thing. You make a colony on Earth, let's say. You go somewhere else and you make a colony. Depends. Usually you're kind of under the laws of, you know, the country that sent the colony.
International law, at least.
Yeah, at least international law. But often colonies will then become their own countries and form their own laws. Australia, America, most places that Britain has been and taken over and then not had control of anymore. But what happens on Mars? Because there are these sort of, there are agreements in terms of sort of like laws for space, you know, and also no, there's agreements on Earth that no country can own planetary bodies or anything in space, really, which is why no country can claim to have land on the moon, you know?
Good.
Yeah, like you can't own parts of the moon. I mean, you can own maybe a moon rock that you bring back, but you can't say, oh, this part of the moon is owned by America. And so what happens with Mars, you know? Like, you can you section off a bit of Mars and say this is America's part of Mars?
Well, I mean, I think they've done the same thing with Antarctica. Antarctica, have they not? They've tried to make it so that people can't claim Antarctica. But I'm pretty sure many countries have still tried to claim Antarctica anyway.
There are lots of little different country bits on Antarctica.
I think there are agreements on Antarctica of who can do what where. No one owns it officially, but there are agreements between all the countries that definitely do not own parts of it.
Yes, I mean, Elon Musk has already claimed that when they get to Mars, SpaceX is going to make their own laws, and they're not necessarily going to be the same as the Earth laws, although there will be some crossover. I assume you can't murder people, for example. But I mean, this really, like, beyond the study of, you know, ethics and everything, it really throws up into very clear reality that all these things aren't real. They're just agreements. So whoever gets to Mars first will probably make those decisions.
True. I mean, yeah, I mean, think about it this way, right? You go to another country, sure. That's far away. But the country that sort of owns your colony can still absolutely just make the journey there. You know, sending a ship to America, it's a lot, but it's doable, you know?
Yeah.
Going to Mars is a pain.
Yeah.
Like a real pain. And you kind of have to rely on them to tell you what's happening in their colony. They could do what they want. If the colonies on Mars sort of decide to have their own laws and have their own sort of community doing all their stuff, what can you really do about it? Like, what would you
Send
really do about
Perseverance
it?
Perseverance to spy on them. Just you look out the window and Perseverance is like, hello, I'm looking at you.
A little helicopter like flying above, like,
stop influencing the Martian stock market.
Have to make the Mars police or send the Mars military.
Or just let people, you know, do what they want on Mars, I think. I don't know. This is the thing. I feel like this is an issue in terms of how we view space exploration. I don't like that it is each country for themselves, or in the case of Europe, each Europe for themselves. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's something we should be doing as a planet, surely, right? Like, okay, in this case, competition doesn't necessarily help. Collaboration surely would be better, right?
Yes, but even the things that we do on this Earth as supposedly collaborating, like America and the UK broke all sorts of international laws to invade Iraq, like, and they did that openly. They knew what they were doing. They tried to bribe a bunch of diplomats and politicians into hiding it or into voting for it because they like there's this is all well documented. These things are when a country really wants to do something, well, when America really wants to do something, it just goes, it just ignores these laws and goes, right, well, what are you going to do? Your all of your currencies are based on our currency. What are you actually going to do? Nothing. And so there will be probably a short amount of time in which the whichever country gets to Mars first, that, you know, will be affected by the Earth's politics. Like if the US gets to Mars and colonizes it, then that can it can still be heavily influenced by Earth politics, because if they do certain things on Mars, well, the EU can hit back at them on Earth, or China can hit back at them on Earth, and they can spy on them because there are, like you say, Chinese satellites on Earth on Mars. But in the long run, it's just who friggin' knows? It's insane. It's like it probably will become its own state in the way that we have.
Yeah.
Like it will become a different planet with a different system. Maybe it will become a republic. Maybe it will be actually start off like united, because there's only one person running it. It's like this is such unprecedented territory. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I think this is the issue that I've got with it. I think that, like I said, we're all very divided. But why does it need to be people from one country being sent up to lay claim to it, you know? Surely
Just because the funding, that's where the funding comes from. The funding comes from governments. I mean, it won't be if it's SpaceX. It's a private company. They can do what they like,
which is worse in a way, you know, which is
a company will be the government of Mars.
Yeah, and like that would set an awful precedent of a company becoming a country.
Yeah,
but that's what Britain was for a while, wasn't it? It was the East India Company was like basically Britain. What is the difference? Ultimately, what is the difference between a company and a country? It's like superficial differences. Companies are enshrined by countries, but they're all just fake things we make up in order to collaborate and in order to manipulate each other. Like they're not real things. Like the positive way of looking at that is they're all things that we make up in order to organize and in order to have a story that makes sense. Because nobody working for Apple, for example, they just do stuff and agree that they all work for Apple, and then that works.
Yeah, no,
it's all made up.
I know it's all made up, and that's exactly my issue with it, right? Because it's all made up, and if it's all made up in the service of good, then great. Like, you know, money is made up. Money is a fake thing that doesn't actually exist. And if you think it does exist, don't be silly. Don't be silly. Money isn't real.
Oh, man. The amount of times I said that to people and they've been like, no, stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
It's not real. Look, okay, right. Money isn't real, for one thing, right? But also, when you get to like sort of digital money, it's just numbers in a bank. It's not real. It doesn't...
Yeah.
Like,
it depends on your definition of real.
Okay, real in the sense that it's not... it's not real in the sense that if we all agreed tomorrow that money... like, you know, that money wasn't worth anything anymore. Money wouldn't be worth anything anymore. If we all agreed...
Sure, but that's a hypothetical because we wouldn't ever all agree on it.
If we agreed... Okay, right, yeah. But if there was the thing is, if enough of us agreed...
If you could zap the brains of every person, then yes, it would stop existing.
No, if
and a house wouldn't.
No, if enough of us agreed in 2 weeks' time, right, that money just was worth more, right? That all of the money in the world was worth more money, then it would be worth more. If we all agreed in a few months' time that money was worth less, it would be, not all of us, but enough of us, you know? If a certain amount of us agreed, then it would be worth less.
Mm-hmm.
If in a year's time we all agreed that there was more gold on the planet, that would literally not change the amount of gold that is on the planet.
Yes. But, so that's what you mean by real.
Yeah, what I mean by real is that it is a social construct.
It's a piece of software running on the brain.
Yeah, it's a social construct. It's an agreement that we all have with each other. And I think the issue is, and the same with countries, they're all just agreements that we have with each other that this thing exists, or at least we'll pretend this thing exists for convenience sake. But I think the issue is that when we start like actually believing that these things are really things that exist, and in a situation wherein surely it would be better to realize... yes, the lines that we draw up on our, the lines that we draw, the pretend lines that we draw up on drawings of our planet are a bit silly and are limiting us. Maybe we should work together and help the human race as a whole. You know, like when it starts to get to that point where like countries are getting in the way of that, then like, get rid of them. You don't need to think about countries. They're fake, you know?
But my country's the best.
It's not. Go to Mars. Make a new one. It's just, it frustrates me, the competition that we see in space exploration. It frustrates me that a private company is doing it for some reason. Money, probably.
The problem is with what you say there, Corey, is there is literally zero evidence that human beings can actually organize without effective stories. Mm. If the stories we tell ourselves are not real in the physical sense, we don't have any evidence that human beings can operate in such a condition. So, like, there's a one specific part of your brain and functioning that is saying that and is thinking that, and it's sort of going against the other part of the brain, which goes, I need a story to make sense of the world. And I don't know, we have no evidence that it works. It's purely unscientific to say, like, not that you're being unscientific, but it's like, it's not tested, is what I mean.
No, what I mean is, like, okay, so I don't think that the stories need to go. I think that countries are fine. I don't think that it's bad. I don't think it's bad to support your football team, even though a football team doesn't exist. They all just wear the same colors and say that they're the same team. You could literally swap all of the players from one football team to another, and people would still support the ones that are wearing the color that they like best.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, right? My point is not that they shouldn't exist at all. My point is more that I think we need to recognize that they are just kind of stories that we tell ourselves. They're not things that actually mean anything. Like, what specific part of the planet you were born on doesn't really matter very much, hugely. Obviously, the culture and whatnot, the culture and experience that comes with that is important, and it can help sort of differentiate you from others. But ultimately, my point here is that countries, the concept of countries, the concept of money and whatnot, it's all very helpful for a lot of things, but it is limited. And believing that it is not limited leads to issues. And in this is one of the cases where I think it is terrifically limiting, and we need to recognize that it's just a story that we all agreed to. We don't need to agree to it all the time.
But then how will you control the population, Corey?
How will I control the
population? How will you manipulate people?
How would I control the population? I would simply inject them with microchips from vaccines, obviously. Oh, no, I didn't mean before. Oh! Vaccines don't have microchips in them, obviously. No, but that's... Yeah,
I said that like a robot.
Obviously, vaccines don't have microchips.
Yeah,
I am not a microchip.
Another thing that they mentioned here is being born on Mars. Imagine, like, if you're born on Mars, right, and you come back to Earth, you're effectively stateless. We need to have laws.
You're an alien,
an immigrant.
Well, we'd need
you're
to,
an alien,
right? An actual illegal alien.
Wow.
but you'd need to have laws about, you know, what citizenship someone could get, because there's going to be a situation where someone's is born on Mars but comes back to Earth.
Mm.
It's, if we have people living on Mars, that's going to happen at some point, unless we, you know, destroy either one of the planets. But there's all of these sort of considerations that we need to think of. So yeah, I mean, that's a big conversation about ethics and Mars, because obviously these are not things that we think about. We'd like to think of what Elon Musk presents to us, which is, let's go to Mars. Let's make a colony on Mars. Yeah. It's great. But actually, there's a lot of things you'd need to think about, you know, ethically speaking, but also scientifically speaking, just trying to be able to survive there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of a little bit about Mars. It's a little quick intro to Mars. If you want to find out more about actually living on Mars, let us know. We'll do more episodes on Mars.
I'm sure we could do so many.
We could do so many. This is the issue, right? I was looking at, I wanted to do an episode on Mars. You know, and I kept on looking for different things. And I kept on finding more and more topics. I could have done an entire episode on terraforming.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a whole episode on terraforming. I could have done a whole episode on growing food on Mars. I could have done a whole episode on, you know, the history of Mars.
Yeah, the ethics.
Exactly. Yeah. The ethics. I could have done a whole episode on whether there's life on Mars. But I thought, what I'd much rather do is give you guys a quick taste of all these different, little tasting session of all these different bits of Mars. And if you liked any part of this, you want to hear more about it, there is plenty more. So give us a shout and we'll make another episode on Mars.
Let us know.
But that is not quite the end of the episode, because it's time for the quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Mars edition.
You did that last week.
Sounds like WandaVision.
Mars edition.
Anyway, we have our quickfire quiz right now, and it's very simple. I will ask you guys one question between you. I need to finish asking the question before you can buzz in with your answer. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins. What do they win? Nothing. But that's okay. Let's go. The question for this week is waiting until you get your buzzers. So tell me what your buzzers are. Very good, Jam. Luke, what is your buzzer? Fantastic.
Wait. If I don't do it now, it's going to...
He is doing
this
that.
This is not a good buzzer.
For audio listeners, he's doing that with his mouth.
Of course he's doing that with his... What else is he going to be doing?
Well, he could just be like turning the tap on really quick. And it's just like one drop.
It's very perfect.
There we go.
Okay, good. Those are your buzzers. So my question for you is, when was the first successful mission to Mars? Okay. Luke.
1962.
Ooh. Unfortunately, that is not correct.
Jeff. I'm going to guess. Successful.
Successful.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, no.
Oh.
1978.
Wrong.
Oh.
The answer is actually 1964, or you could have said 1965. So that was the first successful flyby to Mars from the Mariner 4 from NASA. But that's okay. Don't you worry, guys. You lost this round, but our listeners could win. What could they win? They could win the competition that we're doing. Don't forget, we actually have a competition running right now, a little giveaway. And all you need to do is answer this question in the comments. Also, like the episode and subscribe to us. You need to answer, what is the first thing you would do if you got to Mars?
That's it. In the comments below.
Leave right it. Now.
Yeah.
Head down there.
I would jump. That would be my first thing.
Jump. Immediately. Whoa. Just gets up and jumps. No spacesuit, nothing. The boy is out of there.
No. I would grow a potato.
Very good.
In a greenhouse.
That's quite a long first thing, Jem. Are you going to do nothing else nothing whilst else. The potato grows?
Sit and watch it grow.
Sit and watch it.
What would
well,
I
then
do?
The second thing is sitting then. The third thing is watching.
I think the first thing I would do when I got to Mars would be take a picture. Take a little selfie.
Mm.
You know?
I thought you were going to say take a piss.
No, here's the reason.
Got to get some water on Mars somehow.
No, here's the reason. Here's the reason I take a selfie. Because what if it's the first selfie on Mars?
Okay.
Wait, yeah. No, hasn't one of the rovers already done the first selfie?
It's a robot. I don't count that. It's not
I do.
People.
I do.
Fine. Okay.
History will question this and there'll be essays about it.
Okay.
Good work,
right. Corey. Fine then. The first thing that I would actually do on... Okay, I was lying. It would not be a selfie. The first thing I would actually do on Mars would be to go out without anyone knowing and make a bunch of like stuff to make it look like there was intelligent life on Mars. And I'd come back, wait for someone to find it. And then I'd laugh at them for thinking that they found signs of intelligent life on Mars when actually I was just fucking around. That's the first thing I was going to do. But you guys have ruined it now. And everyone's going to know that it was me.
I thought you...
Imagine if you did that, but that you died on the way back. And then for the rest of time, they thought there was some intelligent life on Mars.
That killed you.
Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be the perfect end to that bit. Wow.
Would you not want to be the first person to watch The Simpsons on Mars?
Nah. I've watched The Simpsons.
Nah, you leave that for someone else.
Nah, I've watched it. I've watched it a lot. Else, yeah. You know. That's... Nah. Nah. Because like, you don't go on holiday and then... What's your favorite show? You know?
What's the first thing you'd do in Barbados? Watch The Simpsons.
Sit in a dark room and watch The Simpsons. Oh, did you see
I'd grow
the
potato.
Did you see the Earth from the moon? You know? Did you have a look at the Earth? No, do you know what? Actually, I spent the whole time in the lander. I was just sitting. It was a great episode of The Simpsons.
Season 31 just dropped on Disney Plus. Had a great time.
You know, unfortunately, Disney Plus cost double the price in Mars. You know, it's apparently to do with the licensing. No.
And you stream it in 480p as well. Useless.
Well, actually, interestingly, have you guys ever had a contract to sign where it says that the license exists throughout the universe? Some of my contracts that I sign say they license it throughout the universe rather than throughout the world. Exactly.
Really? It is, isn't it? No, look, it's our 100th episode, but we just want to fuck.
We just want to fuck.
We just.
It's the 100th episode. Fuck. We just want to fuck.
Fine, don't cut it out. Leave it in first person. That's our 100th episode, and we just want to say thanks to literally every single person that supported SciGuys up until this point. Never thought we'd make it to 100. To be honest, when we started out, surprised we've done so well.
I know.
It's amazing.
We should be getting a letter from the Queen, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
We're 100 weeks old.
I love Sci-Guys. Oh, wait. Because she sends out. Yeah. Yes. I thought you meant the Queen was an avid listener, but she could be.
No.
But that is all I want to say. Just thank you guys for helping us get this far. And also a thank you to all of our patrons, with a very special thanks to executive producer Ashley Muller. Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SciGuys on TikTok too. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
Now we can say goodbye.
Bye.
Now?
Bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.